Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the CASA Connection podcast. I am Jeff Warren from CASA of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties. As you know us, CASA Shaw. And Tracy is not with us this week because we have a very interesting discussion coming your way. And we decided to bring on board with us our director of development. And her name is Ellen Davis. She is fantastic at what she does. And we wanted to dive into a conversation of development, fun development in terms of CASA programs and really kind of what goes on behind the scenes, not just here at CASA of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties, but CASA programs across the country as well. So we have with us the one and only Ellen Davis. Ellen, thanks for jumping on the podcast this week.
Oh, thank you so much for such kind words. I'm so happy to be here. Obviously, it's something I love. It's a topic I love. I like to call it a fun development versus just fun development.
You play know, on words, yep.
Yeah, you know, I can be corny like that.
It's been a pleasure working with you as the individual in the office that specifically, you know, handles a lot of the communications. You and I do work together and in conjunction with each other every now and again. But what I have always found to be just, you know, at the core of what you do with your job responsibilities, what I do with my job responsibilities, whether it's Tracy as well as our executive director and even the case supervisors too, at the end of the day, it comes down to our mission, and that's why we're all here. That's why we are all at CASA, because of the mission to help foster youth have a voice as they are navigating their way through the foster care system. And, you know, it's something that shared value that when it is laid out on the table, and we all have that, we're all there to make our own difference in our own separate ways for our CASA program. So I guess to, you know, start us off in that vein, you know, when raising funds for CASA, Ellen, it's critical that you believe in the mission, but, you know, I'm wondering in terms of the funders, you know, those individuals that we do ask money from and try to obtain funding, it's also important that they believe in the mission as well. How do you work to specifically make that happen?
Right. So it is really down to the belief in the mission, right? For me to be able to share the message of CASA, I have to believe in what we're doing. There's no way, I don't think, an individual could be successful in this role.
Yeah.
If they didn't full-heartedly believe in the work that we were doing.
Right.
And I think a lot of times it's that passion that comes across. It's your passion and excitement more than what you're actually saying when you're in person, right? Is different dynamic than the written word. But that passion gets contagious.
Yeah.
And you want that to be. And the same with the funders. Are only going to fund you. People are only going to support you if they believe in your mission too. And to share, that's why it's important to just share the work that we're doing and tell the stories so that people understand the work and maybe want to come and learn more on their own.
Right. And that's what I think is important in terms of your job, your responsibilities, being involved in fund development, being the director of development here at CASA Shaw. It's about the stories, you know, and it's not just the stories that we tell on this podcast, but it's real life stories of children who have been positively affected by the work of a CASA volunteer. You are able to take that and you are able to tell a prospective donor, this is what happened with this child because of a CASA volunteer providing a recommendation to a judge. That child had this, 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 and this type of opportunity presented to them, whether it's at school, whether it's through their doctor visits, whatever the case is, those stories are so absolutely critical in terms of fund development and inevitably making sure that more people know and understand who and what CASA inevitably is.
Right. You just started to illustrate the next point I really wanted to make. And it's obviously we have a written mission statement and it's on our website. And when I'm doing a written write-up, of course, I include that valuable mission statement. But when I'm trying to really connect with someone in the audience or someone who may have an interest, the mission statement alone isn't enough. Right. And when I say this is what we do, we provide well-trained volunteers within the community and point them to a child in foster care. You can conceptualize that, right? But then when I tell you about Danica was turning 13 when we assigned a volunteer to Danica's case. And she was really struggling with low self-esteem. Her grades weren't good in school. Like, she was almost behind in school. And yep. our volunteer took the time to meet with her, have a conversation with her, met with the schools, discovered that, you know, there might be some learning disabilities there, and was able to get some testing done. And sure enough, Danica qualified for some support services through the school, right? And then the volunteer took the time, because Danica was motivated and wanted to get caught up in school. It was important to her. So the volunteer was able to get tutoring help for yes. Danica,
yep.
right? So through this process and establishing the relationship with Danica, then the conversation went further, and Danica sort of opened up to the volunteer, saying one of the reasons they felt so insecure and uncomfortable was they were really self-conscious about their smile and their teeth. So again, our volunteer had the conversation with Danica, trying to empower her to the choices, and they decided to fill out the paperwork for Operation Smile. And sure enough, Danica qualified for services, and they linked her with an orthodontist and had some orthodontistry done.
Yeah.
When we fast forward to a year later, we now had a nearly 14-year-old who was now on the honor roll at school because of the services they received and the tutoring help. And again, we had a motivated young adult, right, who wanted to make the changes. The orthodontistry was done, and now you had a child that was involved in extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
It was like a different person, gregarious, smiling. This young adult completely blossomed. And you wonder where she would have been without our volunteer to help navigate some of those processes for her.
Yeah, because what happens is, and I think it's important too, and you probably have seen this with some of the funders and some of the companies and businesses that you specifically deal with, it's tough for folks to understand that at times, you know, within certain industries or within certain companies and businesses, within certain realms. Some people, it's tough to, I don't want to say accept, but understand that, okay, yeah, you know what? Children and families at times don't understand the possibilities. They don't understand the opportunities necessarily in front of them. Therefore, if they have one stable adult in their life to help shepherd them through a process, or even provide them information about an IEP or a 504 plan, or perhaps a club at school that they just didn't realize was there for them, for the child to participate in, it means all the difference in the world.
Right, right. And when bringing it back to the fund development, it's through these stories, right, that really illustrates on a much better level what our volunteer advocates can do for a child versus just giving them a mission statement and giving them theory.
Yes.
Right. So it's the storytelling, it's illustrating. And I think a lot of families can relate to that. They've seen their own children struggle with self-esteem issues and the difference that some orthodontistry makes, or struggling in school and having the support. So I think a lot of people can identify to some of the problems that are a little more universal, not just because a child's in foster care. The difference is children who aren't in foster care have a parent who are advocating for them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A child in foster care doesn't necessarily have that backing, and that's where our volunteers come in.
Absolutely.
To advocate for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only do we want to see our children that we are advocating for, these foster youth of all ages, from babies up until, you know, 18-year-old teenagers, not only do we want to see them grow, but for a director of development such as yourself, in terms of fund development, we want our donors to actually grow. You know, we want to see that growth with our donors as well. Again, a lot of it is the communication that you do telling these stories too. But we want them to grow within our mission. We want our donors to grow within our mission to support that social change through advocating for foster youth who have been abused and neglected. So I'm wondering, you know, how have you seen that growth with our donors over the years that you have been working in this realm, Ellen?
Oh, that's a great question. So it's interesting because this is now a post-COVID era, and we almost break it down into pre-COVID, COVID,
absolutely,
and post-COVID times, yep, right? Yep, yep. And there, this has definitely defined so many aspects of all of our worlds. So during COVID, and again, it's all about communication. So during the time of COVID, government funds and corporate funds really were shifted to crisis care dealing with the pandemic.
Right.
But it's where our individual donors really stepped in, and some of our smaller foundations really stepped in to offset that change in disbursement of funds for us.
Right.
And again, it comes down to the storytelling. It comes down to communication, all aspects. And that's why you and I are such a team, right? Because anything I'm doing, it involves communications and being effective in sharing our message. So during COVID, very proactively, I wrote a letter and put together our response to the situation and the impact COVID was having on our children and on our organization and on our funding.
Yep.
Just not with any ask, but just as this is where we stand. The response from that was honestly tremendous. We had many family foundations who then sent us funds saying, we are going to send you an additional grant on request. And individuals, what I found, really stepped up. I think because there were savings dollars, they weren't traveling, they weren't spending the same way.
Right.
And some of our donors really stepped up and sent, bigger donations that year with what they had. It was huge. So continuing that support and post-COVID, the corporations came back that were supporting us before because their funding wasn't, went back to their standard strategies, and the government funds were released again. So from a funding perspective, it evened out, but we're always looking to grow our individual donors. We really would like to not be reliant on government funds that tend to be
right
unstable because of the climate, right?
Yep.
And anything can change government funding sources. Whereas if we can continue to grow that individual donor base, it's more secure. If you lose one donor, it's not going to, cripple you as an organization.
It's not going to break the cart there. Yeah.
Right. But I also find most of our individual donors tend to be extremely loyal.
Mm-hmm.
At Casa Shaw, thankfully, the board of trustees and Tracy, the executive director, we all have a very similar philosophy on the recognition and the importance of individual donors, no matter what that donation is.
Yeah.
We understand that one person who makes a $5 donation financially may be sacrificing more than someone who's able to make a $500 donation.
Right.
So we value that individual the same.
Absolutely.
Right? It's so important. And I can't stress that enough, that as an organization, we like to express our appreciation to our individual donors or any of our donors. And every single one is important to us, no matter what their donation level.
Absolutely. Again, folks, we are talking to Ellen Davis, our Director of Development here at Casa of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren County's Casa Shaw. And Ellen, if anybody listening to this would like to get in touch with you, would that be okay? If they are liking some of the ideas and some of the discussion points here that we're having, would they be able to get in touch with you, perhaps?
Absolutely. The best way is through my email, ellen@casashaw.org. ellen@casashaw.org is a great way to get in touch with me.
Absolutely. And find out what we're doing and check out what we're doing over at casashaw.org. That's our website. We've got great resources for you over there. And you can also follow us on Instagram @casa_shaw. We are on Facebook too, so search us out there as well. And to end our conversation here, Ellen, which has been a great, great conversation, at the end of the day too, we're talking about partnerships, and partnerships are so key to raising funds. And you know, Tracy and I on previous podcasts have talked about partnerships and how critical they are in order to serve children that we continue to serve day in and day out at Casa Shaw. But in terms of raising funds, these partnerships are so key and so important. So what do these partnerships look like here at Casa that you can let everybody know? Again, kind of pulling the veil back, pulling the curtain back. What do those partnerships look like for us here?
Right. So there are so many different levels to partnerships, right? And some of our partnerships are, again, with government agencies. And that's going to look very different than partnerships with smaller community groups. The government agency partnerships have a memorandum of understanding between our organizations, right? And, right. And the funding sources are very detailed from the government agencies looking for very specific, this is what we're funding, this is specifically the need that you're fulfilling from a government standpoint.
Right.
Right. And so it's very much making sure everything's in alignment and we're following all the protocols. The same with the corporate funders, right? And our corporate partners is corporate dollars are they have established guidelines. And either you fit within those guidelines or you don't. And you're only making requests when you fit within their guidelines. So if you have a group, we're a child advocacy group. And if I have a corporation that's really only looking to fund environmental causes, I'm not requesting funds from them.
Right.
Right. It doesn't make sense.
Yep.
I'm only requesting funds and support when our mission aligns with their mission and what they're trying to do. And that's why the corporations are partnering with us, right? They have dollars, they have a mission that they're trying to fulfill, but they're using us as the tool to fulfill their mission.
Right.
And then the smaller groups, it's very different when you're working with a Rotary or a Knights of Columbus. It's very individualized and you're meeting with these groups and understanding what their mission is, what they're trying to accomplish, and creating that partnership with what you can do together to both further both of your missions. And,
right.
And I think it's really important that it's not a transactional relationship, that it truly is a partnership. So some groups may be interested in access to some of our other stakeholders or some of our other funders, right? Some may be interested, and you know this because you do lots of social media posts for me, or I'm giving recognition to a group for their support.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And a shout out to especially a small community business. We want, obviously, our constituents to support the businesses that also support us.
Absolutely.
Right? And the way is thanking them. So it's when you look at those partnerships, you really want to look at the benefit to the other group, not looking from a self-serving perspective, right?
Yeah.
Looking at how do you help the other group too?
Absolutely. It was a great discussion. Ellen, thank you so much for jumping on the Casa Connection this episode. I hope everybody got a lot out of it. It was great talking to you.
Oh, it was so much fun. I really appreciate being invited. And please, folks, if you have questions or if I can help you out, don't hesitate to reach out to me.
We love helping here at Casa Shaw. Again, folks, if you have any questions, comments, or would like us to dive into any particular subject matter, you can email us at info@casashaw.org. And again, our website is casashaw.org. We've got a ton of great resources and other information there. And for Ellen Davis, I am Jeff Warren. That's going to do it for us on this episode. Hope you enjoyed. Subscribe on whatever podcast platform you are on, and we will catch you on the next Casa Connection podcast.